If you were here this past week, you might remember that we commissioned a team of people from our church to go down to El Salvador. And they are down there right now in La Libertad, El Salvador. My wife is leading that trip, and so I invite you to pray for me as she's gone, and pray for that team as they're down in El Salvador. You know, every time we go to another country, every time you visit another country, you no doubt run into customs or traditions that are unique to that town or that country. And sometimes these are strange and we're not sure we understand them. Sometimes we're like, that's cool. Sometimes we see a tradition or a custom that we're like, we should do that in our country. We should do that in our family. And maybe this is one some of you will want to adopt. I heard about this past week. In Brazil, they have this custom that I think is so cool that as the kids are leaving the home for school each morning, as they walk out the door, they pause at the door, and their dad is sitting there at the door in a chair, and as the kid walks out, he pauses, and he looks up at his dad's face with expectancy and says two words, blessing, Father, and then the father lays his hand on the son or the daughter and says, God bless you, my daughter, God bless you, my son, and launches them into the day. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be a cool, I mean, to start your day with the blessing of the Father. And of course, immediately some of us are thinking, that could go two ways. What a way to start our day with our Heavenly Father, that we pause. Before we just race into our day, that we pause and we open God's Word and we linger and we as it were, we look into His face expectantly and say, blessing, Father. And we wait for Him as we pray and as we read and as we just stop before we launch into our day and get the blessing of the Father so that we go into our day with the blessing of the Father upon us, resting His words in us. And of course, I don't know if other countries have that tradition, but I think it's pretty neat that these Brazilian fathers do that. But here's what I do know. It's not just Brazilian kids that feel those words as they look to their dad. Whether they say it or not, every kid is saying, blessing, Father. Or you could put it this way, every son or daughter seeks the blessing of their father. Every son and daughter seeks the blessing of their father. You do. I don't care how old you are, you're a son or a daughter. And you seek or have been seeking the blessing of the father. And if you're a father here today, you're like, how does that all work? I mean, what does that even mean? What's that all about? Turn to Genesis 48 and we'll discover together what that looks like. Genesis chapter 48. And actually, while you're turning to Genesis 48, I have a little unexpected surprise for you. Since it's Father's Day, we thought we'd have some fun. We have a t-shirt for every for three fathers here today. So I'm going to shoot one out and just to see if somebody's ready to get one of these. Ready? Kind of unexpected thing. Here we go. In all of our venues, 3, 2, 1. Oh, there's a father who needs to get that. That didn't work too well. Let's go a little farther. This one goes a little farther. Ready? Three. Someone needs to go. Like somebody got that t-shirt. Here's another one. Ready? 3, 2. Whoa! Yes! Oh, that was awesome. Okay, one more over here. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Woo! Yes! All right. Thank you. All right. A little bit of fun. Okay, a little bit of unexpected. So, have you found Genesis 48 yet? That shirt that I just blew out there, it says unexpected on it. It's the logo from our series. So let's stand to our feet and read Genesis 48. I don't know that we'll have any t-shirt cannons going off in this passage, but there is going to be some expected blessing and unexpected blessing. Genesis 48, I'm going to read like 20 verses. Here we go. Sometime later, Joseph was told, your father is ill. We've been tracking the life of Joseph, and now we come on Father's Day to this relationship between he and his father. It's so awesome. So Joseph took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told that your son Joseph has come to you, Israel rallied his strength and sat up in his bed. Now let me pause here for a moment. If you're paying attention, at verse 2, you might have noticed that the name Jacob and the name Israel both refer to the same guy. Last week, Pastor John Jacobs, not to be confused with the Jacob here, he helped us understand that Jacob and Israel is the same guy. Jacob was his given name from his father Isaac, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was his given name, but he had this encounter with God where God blessed him and changed his name to Israel. And so throughout Genesis, you have this same guy with two different names. And then it gets even more confusing later on when Jacob's descendants, Israel's descendants, become the nation of Israel. So the word Israel refers to the nation as well as to the guy. Kind of confusing. But Jacob, or Israel, says in verse 3 to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz. This is the place called Bethel. Jacob renamed it Bethel, house of God. He appeared to me there in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said to me, I am going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give this land as an everlasting possession. Let's not forget that phrase. I will give this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you. Now then, your two sons born to you in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim, your two sons born to you in Egypt before I came to you here will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben, my firstborn, and Simeon, my secondborn, are mine. Any children born to you after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers. Again, let me pause here. The grandfather, Jacob, is making his grandsons his sons. Equal status, equal money, equal privileges, equal rights. All this is unprecedented. Down to verse 8. And when Israel, Jacob, saw the sons of Joseph, he asked them, who are these? And Joseph said, these are the sons God has given me here. Joseph said to his father, then Israel said, bring them to me so that I may, what? Bless them. Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him and his father blessed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close. So Manasseh, the older one, is going to be underneath Jacob's right hand to have the right hand of blessing. And Ephraim, the younger, is going to be under Jacob's left hand to get, you know, the kind of second blessing, brought them close. But Israel reached out his hand, right hand, and put it on Ephraim, the younger, reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim. And then he crossed his arms and put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he, with his arms crossed, blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name in the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth. And when Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased, and he took a hold of his father's hand to move it onto Ephraim's head, from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said, no, 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 my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But Jacob, his father, refused and said, I know, my son. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. And he blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel That's the nation now. In your name will the nation of Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. And then chapter 48 closes, and you get to chapter 49. Let's turn the page or whatever. And in chapter 49, you have Jacob now blessing all 12 of his sons. So I'm not going to read all those blessings. Let me just wrap it up by getting to verse 28, where after he's blessed all his sons, then it says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father, chapter 49, this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. I love the English Standard Version, which uses the original word blessing three times. And it says, this is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing them with the blessing that was suitable to each one of them. Okay, you may be seated. What's going on here? All this blessing, Joseph bringing his sons, they becoming the sons of Jacob, and then all these words that we didn't read in chapter 49, all this blessing, what's going on here? You can write this down. Here's what's happening, that God has given fathers. Fathers have been given unique power and responsibility to bless. That's what we have happening in chapter 48 and chapter 49. As we get to the end of the book of Genesis, there's only one more chapter left, chapter 50. As we get to the end of this series, next week is the last week in our series. Today, on Father's Day, there's all this blessing. As we get to the end of this story, it just ends with blessing. Now, Genesis starts with blessing when God creates Adam and Eve, and he says he blessed them, and Genesis ends with all this two chapters of blessing. Genesis is a book about blessing, and God the Father gives to earthly fathers this power, this unique power and unique responsibility to bless their sons, to bless their daughters, to bless their wife. Now, I'm not saying that mothers do not have this power. Mothers have a unique power and a unique responsibility to bless. But today's Father's Day. So we're going to talk about the Father and how that word unique, it's different. So the blessing of a father can never take the place of a blessing of a mother. Likewise, the blessing of a mother can never take the place of the blessing of a father. God's design is that you have a father and a mother, and that each one of them uniquely bless you. Not two fathers, not two mothers. God's design is that we're raised by a father and a mother, and that each one of them brings their unique abilities and power and responsibility to bless the children that God gives them. What's going on with this whole blessing thing? What's this all about? Well, as you go throughout this passage in Genesis 48 and 49, you see a couple things I want to draw out to you that about what blessing is and what it looks like and how there's this expectation. See, in the very beginning of chapter 48, Joseph finds out his dad is ill, and the first thing he does is he grabs his two sons and says, guys, let's go see Grandpa. He's expecting a blessing on his life, and he would love it if his dad would bless his two sons. Remember, Joseph and Jacob have been separated from each other for years and years, and there's this close relationship, and Joseph wants the blessing of his father and expects the blessing of his father. Back in those days, the formal blessing was something that was taken very seriously. This is one of the things I grieve about, that we've lost the sense of the formal blessing of a father blessing his sons and daughters. We've lost the formality of that. In fact, we've lost the whole idea in many homes. So today I want to talk to sons and daughters. All of you are sons and daughters. I want to talk to you about the blessing of the Father. I want to talk to you who are fathers about your power and your responsibility to bless your children, because your kids are expecting it. Every son and daughter seeks the blessing of their father. The first thing you wrote down when you were taking notes this morning, If you came in late, you'll miss that. Write this down. Every son and daughter seeks the blessing of their father. Now, I know some of you are like, I don't. In fact, I've done my dead level best to get as far away as I can from my dad. I don't want to be with my father. See, it's the very passion, the very motivation for you to distance yourself from your father is the proof that you have been seeking the blessing of your father. And since you didn't get it, now you're angry about it. And now you want to distance yourself because your father never gave you the blessing that you sought. Every son or daughter seeks the blessing of their father. Whether we vocalize it or whether we realize it, it is one of the deepest parts of who we are. God's hardwired it into every one of us. And fathers, God's giving you the power and responsibility to bless your children in order to set them up for the ultimate blessing, because every single one of us as sons and daughters seeks the blessing of our heavenly Father. And the blessing of our earthly Father can't take the place of our heavenly Father, but it sets us up for and helps us understand the expectation that we have. And as we read through this passage, the expected blessing that Joseph is, you know, expecting for himself and hopefully for his children actually turns into an unexpected blessing. Did you notice that? As we're reading along, you know, Joseph brings his sons, he kind of, you know, introduces them to his dad, and unexpectedly, Jacob says, these two sons of yours, Joseph, I'm making them mine. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but in those days, it was unprecedented. We don't know of any other place in Scripture where a grandfather made his grandsons equal status with his sons. And that means all the rights and the privileges and all the money and all the authority and all the land. And this is a big deal for Jacob because he's going to parcel out the whole land of Israel to his 12 sons. He's including his grandsons in this inheritance. This is a huge deal. The wealth of Jacob, the property of Jacob, all his rights and privileges as the patriarch of the land, he's giving that to equal status with the rest of his sons to Joseph's two sons. This is a really big deal. Unexpected. And Joseph's like, wow, kind of a double blessing. This is the second unexpectedness, that because in those days, the double blessing went to the firstborn, the son. If you remember reading as we read along, Reuben is the firstborn son of Jacob. But he does not get the firstborn blessing. Joseph does. He does not get the double blessing. Joseph does, by virtue of Joseph's two sons becoming elevated to the unexpected status of, watch this phrase, joint heirs. That should ring some bells. Joint heirs with the other sons of Israel, the other sons of Jacob. And of course, St. Paul picks up on this idea of how God has adopted us as sons and daughters. Unprecedented, unexpected. We're outside the sonship, the being sons and daughters of Father God. But God adopts us and brings us in and says, you are joint heirs with Christ. You are a part of my family of sons and daughters. Friends, there are no grandchildren in God's family. Nobody gets to heaven because their father or mother was a Christian. And so therefore, because your father and mother is a Christian, you get in. No, there's only sons and daughters in heaven. No grandsons, no granddaughters. You have to have a personal faith with your heavenly Father. And he has taken the first step. He's made the first move. He's invited you into a relationship. And he said, I'll adopt you as my son. I'll adopt you into a daughter. Isn't this cool? This is a little picture of what's going on here. Jacob is like, he doesn't realize what he's doing maybe in sending a message through the ages, but Joseph is blown away. His two sons are blown away. But the unexpectedness isn't finished yet. As I read, if you watched while I read, as Jacob is blessing his sons, his new sons that he's adopted, the right hand of blessing he takes and puts on the younger son's head, Ephraim. And this also is a hand of blessing. He's blessing. He's making them sons. It's a big deal. But Ephraim gets the greater blessing. Seems to be a pattern here. You know, Abraham's firstborn was who? Ishmael. but the secondborn got the blessing, Isaac. Isaac's secondborn, who was that? Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn, Jacob was the secondborn. Jacob got the blessing. Now, third generation, Jacob, instead of giving the firstborn blessing to his firstborn, Reuben, he gives it to Joseph, firstborn of Rachel, but, you know, not the firstborn of, at all. And there's this, and now it goes to Ephraim. It's like generation after generation after generation. This doesn't happen anyplace else in Israel, except with the patriarchs. It's really an interesting thing. It's unexpected. And this is a picture of how, as we seek the blessing of the Father, it may come to us in unexpected ways. Every son and daughter seeks the blessing of their father, but that blessing may come in unexpected ways. It certainly is being pictured here as coming in unexpected ways. And Joseph is you know, beside himself. He's like, no. And he tries to argue with his father and move his hand. And Jacob, as the patriarch, says, no, this is good. I'm doing this on purpose. I may be half blind, but I know what I'm doing. This is what I'm all about. Joseph, this is the blessing that God has for your sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So today, even though Manasseh is the firstborn, we always use it in this order, Ephraim and Manasseh, because that's the blessing that God has given. And that's what God is doing. Now, it's really interesting. When you get to verse 15 of chapter 48, Joseph has brought his sons. Jacob's got his arms crossed. And he's ready to pronounce the blessing over the sons. And notice verse 15a, as he's blessing the sons, the first words out of his mouth, or first words in verse 15 are, then he blessed Joseph. So the blessing of the son of Ephraim and Manasseh was actually the blessing to Joseph. It's this double blessing. It's this unexpected blessing. And then he just gives these wonderful words to the sons. And Joseph is so proud and so excited and so blown away and so honored. Kind of wonder what the other 11 brothers were thinking when they heard about this. But this is what's happening in this story. This is the picture of blessing. Now, let's pull back now and say, why is this so important? Why does Genesis start with blessing? And why does it end with blessing? And why all these chapters about blessing? Why is blessing such a big deal? Why am I making such a big deal about it? Here's why. Because fathers who practice blessing their sons and daughters, notice the word practice. Fathers who practice this, who understand the power and responsibility, and who start from a young age blessing their children, communicate love. The blessing communicates, I love you. It communicates acceptance. To hear your father say, I love you. To hear your father say words of affirmation and words that of acceptance, that registers deep down inside your soul. When a father blesses his son, he affirms him. When a father blesses his daughter, he affirms her for who she is. Not just for what she's done, her accomplishments, but you are valued. You are a person of worth and value because I'm blessing you. You matter. My love for you creates and recognizes value, that you don't have to try to find value in something else because I'm giving it to you just because you are and just because I am. See, you don't earn the blessing of your father. A scary percentage of the people listening to me right now are still trying to earn the blessing of their father. Some of you are 80 years old, and your father is long gone, and you are still trying to earn the blessing of your father. Fathers, bless your children. Your words, your blessing communicates these powerful things. And likewise, fathers that don't practice blessing, they communicate some other things, and they create inside, in the deepest parts of a son or a daughter, confusion, I don't know who I am. There's a hurt that's deeper than I can register. I don't really understand it. And there's a shame that's not about, it's not guilt for what I've done. It's shame for who I am. I don't know who I am. There's an identity crisis that's sweeping our country today. A gender identity crisis. There's all this confusion about who I am. And you can count it. You can go one after another and say, that son, that daughter, it's so confused, it's so hurt, that's walking around with shame, that's full of emptiness and detachment and anger. 95% chance that son or daughter never received the blessing of the Father. You see what it communicates when we bless, and you see the damage that it does. This is a big deal. So you're like, okay. Whew. You know, I could spend a long time talking about that, but I think all of us know stories. Right now, we could probably all tell stories of people, children, homes we saw wrecked because there was no blessing of the Father. So how do I do that? If I want to be a father who practices this blessing, if I want to be a father who uses the power and the responsibility that God's given me to bless my children, how do I do that? Well, fathers who practice the blessing combine several things. And I'm going to talk about from this passage a multiple kinds of combinations. And the first thing I want you to see is that fathers combine seen, visible acts of blessing and unseen acts of blessing. And I'll explain that in a minute. Let's talk first about these seen acts of blessing. So when you affirm your son or your daughter, affirming words is, if not one of, the most powerful way to bless your children. To say to them, I love you. To say to them, I affirm who you are. You want to combine affirming who they are and affirming what they've done. Affirm who they are and what they've done. Don't separate those two. If all you do is confirm what they've done, then that will create in them a more of a seeking. They won't sense the blessing. But when you affirm them for who they are as well as for what they've done, then they begin to realize, I'm loved, I'm blessed, I'm valuable, I'm accepted, I'm cool just for who I am, regardless of what I do. Likewise, when your kids do something that you can't affirm, that you need to discipline them for, or you express disappointment of, that's fine. Express that disappointment or that discipline for what they've done or didn't do, but then make sure you wrap that in words of affirmation of who they are. Understand this? If you've got to express disappointment, if you've got to discipline for what they've done, make sure it's wrapped in affirming words for who they are. Don't buy the line that if you show them love after they've done something wrong, that they'll misunderstand. No, be clear. Tell them what they've done wrong. If you need to give a discipline for it, do that. But make sure that that is wrapped in words of, now, I want you to know I love you. There's nothing you could ever do that would cause me to stop loving you. I've said this to my kids 1,000 times throughout their lives. I want them to know that even though I have to discipline you, I love you. And I love you for who you are. You could never cause me to ever lose my love. And you find ways to affirm your sons. You find unique ways to affirm your daughters. Remember how in the Gospels it records that when Jesus was being baptized, the heavens opened and this voice came? Remember this? And the Father says to his son, this is my son, my only son, whom I love. Listen to him. And there's this picture of the Father blessing Jesus, the Son. Did Jesus need that? Apparently. And that's why God did it. It's beautiful. It's natural. It's positive. It's the way it's supposed to be. I've picked up on that, and I only have one son, so I say to my son all the time, you're my son, my only son, the one that I love. That's just my way of affirming. And to my daughters, I had this, you know, unique way of saying, you, I love. Just our cute little way that I want them, that's for them. You, I love. And they respond back with something I can't tell you. It's just between us. It's fun. It's cute. It's us. It's our family. But find ways to affirm your children. But did you notice that in all these blessings, Jacob takes his hand and rests it on his son's or his grandson's head or upon their shoulders. So he's combining affirming words with appropriate touch. Don't miss this. Jesus laid his hands on the little children and blessed them. The laying on of the hands is a powerful act of blessing. So combine the affirming words of who they are and what they've done with the hand on the head or the shoulder or the arm around them or a hug. You know, find appropriate ways. Put your hands on your kids. Touch your kids on their head and their shoulders. Let them know the feeling of their father's hand, physical hand upon their head and their shoulders. This is a much bigger deal than what you can realize. This is just the way God's wired us. It's powerful. So we're combining affirming words for who they are and what they've done. We're combining affirming words with appropriate touch. And now this whole idea of unseen acts of blessing. Kids who are here today, your dad has blessed you in thousands of ways that were not words and touch. On Father's Day, I want you to look your dad in the eye and say, Dad, thanks for all the things that you've done for me that I never saw. Not you know, they weren't words that you said, they weren't actions that I saw, but I know that, and Pastor Jim said, I know that there's things that you've done. I just want to say thanks, Dad. And to kind of help us see a little bit of this, watch this video with me.
Ever notice in the moment your balloon came back? Or why you like to work with your hands? Or why your friends always came and played at your house? Ever wonder how vacations are made? Night monsters never came back? Or why you and the princess always had the same name? Ever appreciate how happy your dad could be when he walked into the house? How goofiness can ease the tension? Or the non-stop battle he fights between supporting his family and supporting his family? Because this Father's Day, if you really look around, you just might. You might appreciate where some of your passions came from. Might wonder on the dreams of those before. And might notice that being the bad guy is sometimes a very hard job. You may even discover the ultimate pride in his eyes when you've learned for yourself.
Dads, let me just say thank you for all the countless unseen ways that you've blessed your sons and your daughters. And they'll never know all that you've done. They'll never be able to see all the unseen things that You've provided for them. The provision that you have over the years faithfully provided for their needs, the food, the clothing, a house over their head. You know, these are things that men do that people don't appreciate many times. I want to say on Father's Day, men, we appreciate, fathers, we appreciate all the sacrifices. Kids, ask your dad today. He may not answer this question, but ask your dad. You know, Dad, what does Pastor Jim mean when he talks about all the sacrifices? Maybe your dad will tell you some stories. I can tell you, if he does, he's got a lot more than what he can tell you in one afternoon. Dad sacrificed in 1,000 ways. Yeah, moms do too, absolutely. This is Father's Day, don't get offended. Dad, thank you for your sacrifices, for the way you've provided. Maybe the greatest unseen blessing that fathers you can do for your kids is to pray for them. And those of you fathers who have prayed for your sons and your daughters, thank you. Keep doing it. That's a powerful way. And maybe you haven't. Maybe you're sitting there today going, whoa, I forgot about that. That's okay. Start today. Don't live in the past. Start today. You're alive. Start blessing your children. Lay your hands on them. Speak words of affirmation. Look them in the eye. Tell them I love you. Pray for them in their hearing and when they're not around. These are ways that fathers have blessed and can bless. And I want to say, dads, combine the seen acts of blessing with the unseen. They can't take the place for each other. All the unseen blessings you've done, God bless you, thank you, but they don't take the place of the seen acts of affirming words and appropriate touch. And likewise, saying I love you and putting your hands on them doesn't take the place of you providing for them and sacrificing and praying. Combine these. They need to go together. See, one of the problems with unseen acts of blessing is since we don't see them, we don't know they exist. I wish there was a way, you know, that we could mark. So every time an unseen blessing happened, let's say a red balloon just fell out of the sky. And so that unseen act of blessing was marked as there it was. Someone, a father prayed, a mother prayed, somebody sacrificed, and a balloon came down. Wouldn't that be cool if every time there was an unseen act of blessing, it got marked, it got recognized by a red balloon? I wonder how many red balloons there would be around if that was the case. Now we don't want to do an unseen act for people to say thank you and God bless you. Now, these come from a motivation of love. It comes from a motivation of I want to fulfill the calling that God's given me to bless my children, my wife, those who work for me, to bless the people that God has surrounded me with. This is the power, this is the privilege, this is the responsibility that God's uniquely wired in a man. And I want to challenge you, men. Step into your calling. Use words of affirmation. Put your hands on people appropriately. Bless them. And when you're sacrificing, when you're providing, and when you're working hard and nobody sees it, your boss doesn't see it, your wife doesn't see it, your kids don't see it, you just keep sacrificing. You keep working. You keep providing. You keep praying, because this is why you're here. It's why God made you a man. Step into your calling as the man of God that he's placed on this earth. Amen? Because that's what the man, Jesus, did. Isn't it a picture of the gospel that Jesus provided for us, that God the Father so loved the world that God the Father provided salvation for us by sending his one and only son. And Jesus, the man, came and he lived for one purpose, to provide access to the Father, to provide salvation for those of us who would surrender our lives to him. God the Father, God the Son have modeled provision. What about sacrifice? God sacrifices his own son. Jesus would say later, no one, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life. That's sacrifice. And this is what I've done. Jesus models sacrificial love. And as I've pointed out many, many times, Jesus prayed for his disciples. And in John 17:20, the night before he died, the Bible records that Jesus prayed for you and me. He says, he says to the Father, I'm not praying only for the ones you've given me, my disciples. I pray for those who are yet to believe. That's you and me. Well, or is it? Have you received the love of the Father, how he's provided for you, how he's sacrificed for you? Have you received the blessing of your heavenly Father? Because fathers, you cannot give the blessing your children need if you haven't received the blessing of your heavenly Father. Now, I know some of you are sitting here today and you're like, well, I didn't have a father who said I loved you. Okay, but you have a heavenly Father who has not only said it, but has demonstrated it. That's when I said earlier in the sermon that the earthly Father's blessing cannot take the place of the heavenly Father's blessing. It was never intended to, but it was intended to set us up to expect and to recognize that there is a greater blessing than the blessing of our earthly Father. And I know there are some men here and women today who have not received the blessing of your earthly Father. I know that. Don't stop here and hold up that as an excuse. Recognize that your heavenly Father has gone to great lengths to say, I love you, to demonstrate his love. Receive the love and the blessing of your heavenly Father. Let it fill that emptiness. Let it heal the hurt, the confusion, the wounds. Let it fill you up with love that spills out into blessing, because you're not walking around angry with an edge because you're mad about the fact that you didn't get the blessing of your Father and you miss the blessing of your heavenly Father. I have failed as a father. Every father fails, except for one. The Bible says that God's love is unfailing. He has never failed to love you. He loves you today. And your heavenly Father wants to fill your heart. Your heavenly Father wants you to look to the cross, where he sacrificed his only son for you to pay for your sins. And he wants you to look to that everlasting act of love and surrender to him, because you're a son or a daughter who is seeking the blessing of your Father. Find that blessing today. Amen. If you're a son or a daughter today who has had a father who blessed you, who affirmed you, who laid his hand upon you, who gave to you, you know, this kind of blessing, this is the last thing I want you to write down, if you'll put that up on the screen for me. This last phrase, if you're a son or a daughter who has received that blessing of your Father, thank them today. Say thank you. Say, Dad, thank you for the way that you've loved me. But if you're not, know that your heavenly Father has and will continue to provide everything you need. Your heavenly Father has and will continue to provide everything you need. I want to close today by saying a prayer of blessing over each one of you, every son, every daughter here today. So would you close your eyes with me? Let me pray this prayer. Let me say this blessing that I just wrote yesterday for each one of you. May each of you know the blessing of our Heavenly Father. May you know the joy of being his son or his daughter, the warmth of his smile upon your life, his everlasting arms of love embracing you, his sacrificial love and sending his son to die for you. And may you revel in that love, and may it sustain you every day of your life. In the name of the Father, In the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Amen. I do mean this. God bless you. Now, there's not going to be a closing song today. In fact, I actually preached a shorter sermon for fathers because we said to a bunch of fathers, hey, we're going to have a big cookout in the parking lot on Father's Day. And we said to some fathers, isn't that a great idea? And we actually had some fathers that went like, well, thanks, but not really. I would rather spend the time with my children on Father's Day instead of being in the parking lot. So I unexpectedly preached a shorter sermon. We're done. God bless you. Have a happy Father's Day. Amen.